conversation, and you just feel like in the process you've been dismissed, like you don't exist, or like you just kind of, I mean, you know, it can happen quite often. I see some of you shaking your head, some of you maybe going, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Well, here's what I mean, this is what it looks like in my world. You know, after a long, hard day of work, what happens is I'll come home, and our home is one where it's a split level, so we walk in and we can go up or down, and I'll head upstairs and greet my wife, give her a kiss, and say, and she's just, hey, welcome, so glad you're home, and I'll put down my bag, and downstairs, I'll go back downstairs. Downstairs happens to be where the video games happen to be, and my boys will be down there sometimes, and just recently, I come home, and I said hello to my wife and went downstairs to greet them, and this is kind of how it went. So I walk in, and I say, hey, guys, how's it going? Good. So how was your day? Awesome. So did you do anything exciting or anything special? Stuff. Now, isn't this supposed to happen when they're 15? Like, not age 10 and age 8? Like, what happened? So I just go back up to my wife, who actually loves me, who actually cares, and like, I feel good about life again. You know, it's like, what's going on? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about, like being dismissed. You guys been in those conversations before? Like, you go to talk with somebody, you have something really exciting to say, and they're flipping through their Facebook. You're trying to have a conversation with them about something deep or personal, and they're texting. You know what I'm talking about? You want to have this conversation, but their ESPN is on and they are locked in. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you can't have that conversation with them. It can be such a frustrating experience. And sometimes there's that sense of like, woohoo, I'm here. Like, do you see that I'm here? And that same type of sense, it happens with people, but sometimes it feels like that can be that way with God as well, can't it? I mean, like, sometimes we feel like we're trying to have this conversation with God. We're trying to let him know that we're here. We're trying to let him know about some of the things that are most deeply personal to us, the things that matter to us. And sometimes it seems like he's just too busy. Like, he's got other stuff going on. Like, there's big problems in the world to take care of, not enough to really care about our ailments, care about the things that are going on for us. And as a result, we start to have conclusions about God. Like, he doesn't care. Or he doesn't have time, or he's really not that powerful. And I know that for some of us, I mean, some of you've been following Jesus for a while, and so I know I say that, and the first place you go is like, you know, I've got scripture verses for that. I can go there, I can tell you the things, and I can like tell you that that's not true, but the felt experience sometimes can be so different. And so it can lead us to a spot to conclude that God's not around. And I know that we have the scriptures, but sometimes reality is the way that we live our lives, the actions that we take really tell us what it is that we believe, right? And so to say it a different way, the way that we pray really reveals more about how we view God than maybe anything else. And so a question for us to consider this morning as we step back in is this question of what does our prayer life really reveal about our view of God? Like, if we take time to just sit and listen, think and hear what our prayers are, what do they tell us about how we view God, about his nature, about our relationship with him, about how things work in this world? You see, the reason I bring this up is because we've been in this series. It's been we were like in a think tank for years and hours and days, really coming up with this real profound title for this series on prayer. It's called The Prayer Series. And I know there's a lot of thought that went to that, but we're in this series, we're wrapping it up, called the Prayer Series today. And the reason that we're in this is because we feel like it's so important for us to have conversations about what it means to be in prayer, because prayer is so vital to the life of a follower of Jesus. You see, we believe that everyone is meant to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. And the reason that we're having this conversation is because we recognize that it is so essential. Prayer is such an essential part of following Jesus. You know, around here, you know, we kind of hear that word disciple kind of thrown out in so many different places and so many different contexts, but we have a definition for discipleship here. This is what it is. The disciple is someone who follows Jesus and helps others do the same. Would you say that with me? A disciple is someone who follows Jesus and helps others do the same. It's that simple, that we live a life of following Jesus and the things he called us into, and then we help others do the same thing. That's what it means for us to be a disciple. See, the reason that we're having this conversation today is because there is such a vital need for us to recognize how God views us. Because if we misunderstand that, to the extent that we don't understand his love, his care for us, that he wants a dynamic relationship with us, what can end up happening is, we come to the conclusion that he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then what prayer becomes for us is no different than what it becomes for every other religion in the world. You see, on that hand, it really just becomes a rote thing that we do because we're supposed to do it. And maybe if we do it enough, then we can appease God. And that's what prayer becomes, going through the ritual. On the other hand, it might come to that spot where you just say, you know what, if God really doesn't care anyways, if he really doesn't want a dynamic relationship, why pray in the first place? I mean, why waste my time? If he's not going to answer, if he's not there, if he's just this God that's way out there, what's the point in even praying? So wherever we find ourselves in that, there is a sense of futility, this sense of hopelessness that can start to set in our lives, whether we call ourselves followers of Jesus or not. Sometimes that ends up taking place. And to the extent that we find ourselves there, it's just not a good feeling, is it? I mean, some of us, we go through that in seasons. Some of us, that's the way our whole life has been. And it's not a good spot to be. And we're not the only ones who have found ourselves there. You see, over 2,000 years ago, there were these fishermen. And these fishermen found themselves in a spot where they and the people around them, they had not heard the word of the Lord for over 400 years. God had not spoken for 400 years. Can you imagine that? Like in our context today, that would be like saying that there has not been a word from the Lord since like the 1600s. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. That's where these guys found themselves. Oh, and sure, there was some stuff going on. I mean, there was the kind of the Hebrew churches called synagogues that were there, and there was the religious people that were in those places. And they talked about a day that God would come and speak once again. And they talked about a God that was out there somewhere who talked to those people and helped those people way back then. And he did some miraculous stuff for them. Sometimes what happened back then can feel a whole lot like what can happen today. This God who did stuff for other people, but not for us. This God who was miraculous and powerful in those times, but not here and now. That's where those fishermen found themselves. And then as they were fishing one day, Jesus came on the scene, and as he did, he just blew their mind with the things that he was able to do. I mean, all of a sudden, he's fishing with them. I mean, yeah, Jesus was fishing. It was pretty cool. He was out there with them. And all of a sudden, these fish came in, and they just said, like, wow, if you can do miraculous stuff, we're in. In fact, so much so that they ended up leaving all their stuff, their fishing gear, their livelihood, maybe some of them even their families. They left everything they knew and immediately started to follow Jesus at that time. And as they were following along the way, they were journeying together. There was a moment in which Jesus went to a certain place to pray. And when he was done praying, one of the disciples, I don't know if it was one of the fishermen or not, but one of the disciples came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And Jesus said, yeah. So let me teach you. And he gave these words, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there's more to this prayer, and likely if you've been a follower of Jesus for any time and have taken a look at this prayer, you know, like there's part of you that wants to keep going on with the prayer. But I just want to pause right there on this part today. We're going to kind of camp on this part today, because you see, this is part of what we call the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer really breaks up into two parts. The first part of it that we're talking about here is about our relationship between us and God and what that relationship looks like, who God is and how we relate. The second part is about who we are, how we live, and how we are to relate to one another. And as we stepped into this series, I love that Tom said a couple of weeks ago when we were in this, he said, you know what, if we're going to start to talk about prayer, it's probably not best to start to talk about all the different, there's so many places we could go, but maybe the best place to start is to start with God. Like, that makes sense. And so we're going to spend time really talking about that today. Because if we don't get this relationship between us and God right, if we don't come to an understanding about who we are, about who God is and how we relate, I tell you, we don't set ourselves up very well. We set ourselves up for failure for relationship with one another. So that's the place that we're going to start. And maybe to say it in a more positive light, to the extent that we come to understand who God is and understand our relationship with Him, we are better able to live in this world the way that God has meant us to. So what was Jesus up to when he told these guys to pray this way? I mean, consider the religious leaders of the day. They babbled on, and they had these grand, pious prayers that they would give. But Jesus said, like, don't pray like that. This is how I want you to pray. It was so different, so radical in the way that he offered it. You can imagine that it was blowing the fishermen's minds as he was having this conversation with them about how it is to pray. It was something so transformative. But it's amazing how over time, 2,000 years worth of time, that this prayer that was so profound, so radical, meant so much, can take on a different meaning. Not on purpose, but just time has a way of shifting things, doesn't it? And as it does, we can end up reading this very same prayer from a completely different standpoint. And oftentimes, based off of our circumstances, that's what ends up happening. And so sometimes this prayer is actually read more like this. Our Father in heaven, somewhere out there, may your name be kept holy. And we know that holiness means set apart. And so God, may your name be way out there and set and be holy. May your kingdom come. That's somewhere out there. May it come soon. And may your will be done on earth, somewhere on this big planet, as it is in heaven, wherever that might be. That prayer that Jesus offered that was so radical and so profound can become very disconnected. It can become very distant in our lives. And if that's the way God is, if that's the way that He is, the way that He operates, the way that He is with us, then, and if we see prayer in that light and the way that we're supposed to relate with God from that place, you know what God ends up looking like to us in ways that we've never actually meant for Him to be? He ends up looking a whole lot like this. Right? I mean, you know, if we just rub just the right way, say all the right words, then maybe He will appear. And then maybe He will answer our prayers. And if we get all the words right and the wish that we offer to Him, then He'll answer our prayer the way that we hope for Him to. But be careful, because if you say the words wrong, He's going to give you a wish that you didn't wish for. And then all bad things are going to happen in your life. And that's what God often comes to be for us. And so we just kind of rub on the bottle when we need Him and put Him back away in hope that maybe He will answer our prayers. And if that's who God becomes to us, then you know how we end up living? We end up living this way. It's a life really based off of fear. One in which we circle the wagons. Because after all, if God really isn't all that powerful, if God really is distant, if He really doesn't care all that much, then we need to take care of ourselves. We need to make sure that we protect ourselves from the big bad world that's out there that's going to bring harm to us. And so we circle the wagons and we hunker down and we pray, God, may your kingdom come soon and save us from all this bad and evil stuff that's happening in the world. Now, I've prayed that prayer before. You see, there was a moment when I was in college. It was my first finals week that I ever experienced. I mean, I worked hard in high school. I mean, I had a good education at North Kitsap, and I worked hard. But college was just a whole different beast. And I remember my first week of finals, and as I was there, we were studying. There were nights where I stayed up literally all throughout the night studying, getting ready for these tests. And I got done with the first final and knew that I still had a few more. And I remember after the first final walking to my dorm room. It was still kind of empty because everybody else was still doing their finals. I walked into my dorm room. I shut the door to my dorm. I opened up the windows, and I stuck my hands out and said, "Lord Jesus, take me now. I'm done. I'm done. I don't care if I have kids. I don't care if I get married. Now, this is a college-age student. I don't care if I consummate the marriage. I'm done. Like, get me out of here. This is ridiculous." I remember that moment, like, "Lord Jesus, come now. Get me out of this." Like, I've been in those places, and I know that there's hurt and heartache that comes. But God is not meant to be reduced to be a God that's a genie in a bottle. We weren't meant to be reduced to people who hunker around and settle down and say, "Lord, may your kingdom just come soon. We're going to hold on." You see, when Jesus came on the scene, he changed everything. He changed everything. See, there's a word that John uses to describe Jesus. There was this God, and Jesus, John is trying to explain what's going on, what's taking place, what's been happening. That there's this God who seemed so distant. This word we often bring it up during Christmas time to describe God. It's this word Emmanuel to describe God. Emmanuel means God with us. John is trying to describe this profound thing that took place when God chose to do something different than what he's ever done. He broke the silence, and he came in Jesus. John offers these words. He says, "The Word, speaking of Jesus, became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood." I love it. It's a message version. He moved into the neighborhood. God chose to come close. You see, this very same Jesus, after he had found himself in a spot of being baptized, and it was this glorious moment in which he was baptized, and he was taken right from there into the wilderness to be tempted. And after that temptation took place, after 40 days, he was tempted. And after that, he was ministered to by the angels. And then scriptures let us know that he went to preach in power. And as he preached, Jesus had a message to share with the people. Wherever he went, he had a message to share. You know what the message is? Here it is. It says, "From then on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is where? It's near.'" The kingdom of heaven is near. In some versions, it says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. There's a nearness to it. It's not this God that's far away, but it's a God who is drawn near. Later on in his ministry, one day, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, said, when will the kingdom come? And Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. It's not in the way that you normally think about a kingdom. You won't be able to say, 'Oh, there it is,' or 'Here it is.' For the kingdom of God, where is it? It's already among you." Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is already among you. There's a theologian who said Jesus was saying that he, as a representative of the coming kingdom of God, was bringing about this future kingdom that people had longed for. The kingdom, at the moment that God chose to come to earth in this way, in Jesus, the kingdom started to break through right in their midst. This God was not a distant God. This God is one who chose to draw close. And at the close of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus found himself in a spot where he's letting the people know, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to be raised again. I'm going to ascend into heaven. And when I do, I'm going to send my spirit. I know it seems like we're close now. We've been journeying together for 3 years, and we've been close. And it's been good, hasn't it? And the disciples, yeah, it's been real good. I mean, it's been fun. And so there's this moment of saying, like, I know we've been close, but I'm going to get even closer. I'm going to get even closer to you. Here's the deal. I'm going to place my spirit in you. I'm going to come to live in you. And the very thing that he said that he was going to do, he pulled it off. He did it. He died, and he rose again 3 days later, and he ascended into heaven. And Scripture lets us know that days later, the Spirit of God came to live in the believers, the people who chose to follow him. Paul, one of the people who was impacted by this at some point, or is writing to the people of Corinth, and he lets them know this. He says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit where he lives in you and was given to you by God? The Spirit of God lives in you. Can you just let that sink in for a moment? The Spirit of God, if I'm a believer, lives in me. The question is, where is God? Is he just out there in heaven, someplace in this nebulous spot that we have no idea about? Or does he come to live in us when we believe? Is he present here among us, here and now? Is he here? Now, I understand that that is a little bit less tangible to hold on to. And I know we'd like nice, clean lines to be able to hold on to, don't we? But Jesus says, you can't see the kingdom in the way that you like to see other things. You won't be able to say, here it is, or there it is. But I'm telling you, wherever I am, that's where the kingdom is. You see, if he's here, then the Lord's Prayer might take on a whole new meaning for us. If he is here, then this prayer of his kingdom coming is not just about a future kingdom that we hunker down and hold and wait for. If he is in us, then his kingdom coming is not just about heaven coming down, but it's also about the kingdom of God bursting through us because Jesus lives in us when we believe. If he is here, then Jesus is telling us to pray for God's kingdom to break through here and now, even as we wait for the kingdom to come in all its glory. And since we're containers of God, or as the scriptures say, since we are the temple of God, we get to participate in seeing God's kingdom at work here and now as we wait for his return. How profound is that? You see, Jesus describes this kingdom as one that's like a mustard seed. It starts off so small as one seed that goes into the ground, like himself. And something all of a sudden starts to sprout. Life starts to come. It makes for a place, as Tom said at the beginning, that anybody can come and be a part and find their place as they choose to receive him. The kingdom of God is a whole lot like yeast that's making its way through the dough. It's continuing to expand more and more and more. And you and I have the opportunity to participate in it if we wish. The choice is up to us. One theologian said it in this way, that the second request for his kingdom, which means in the Gospels not a geographical realm, but his kingly rule to come, is to say for the extension of his control in the lives of those who are at present rebels against God's love. It's a prayer when we pray that prayer, kingdom come. It's a prayer for the spread of the gospel. That's what that prayer is about. May your kingdom come. May your gospel spread, O Lord. The third petition, the part that we talked about, his will being done, is perhaps more directed towards life in the kingdom, this theologian says. If the disciples are anxious to see God's rule conquering the apathy and self-centeredness of their friends who are not yet disciples, they should be no less concerned to see his will being done in their own lives. Or maybe to change it, we should be no less concerned about seeing his will being done in our own lives, changing us and making us more like our master. To pray that prayer that Jesus invites us to is something so profound. It's not something for a distant God that's out there doing his thing that somehow we might be able to be a part of, but it's something that we get the opportunity to participate in if we choose. So what does that mean for us? I mean, I know it's a great theological conversation. I know that it might be some stuff there, but what in the world do we do with that, right? There's so much that we could. What I know is that there was a time for me this past year where I just found myself in a spot where I just didn't have anything to pray for. I remember it was towards the end of the year. And it's not that there weren't things to pray for. There's plenty of things going on. But I just found that spot where it just felt disconnected, like I just had nothing to say. And I don't know if you've been there before in your walk with Christ, but sometimes people, it wasn't even necessarily a dryness. It just felt, I felt disconnected. And I remember that moment thinking, Lord, I don't have words. I don't have words. There's people that are hurting. There's people in need. There's things I know I'm supposed to pray for. I know I'm supposed to pray for myself. I don't have words. And the Lord prompted me to go back to the things that are so central, that are so core. And as I opened up the text, I asked the same words. I had the same request that disciple did when he came to Jesus that day. Lord, would you teach me how to pray? Teach me how to pray. And as I've taken time with this over this past year, and I'm not saying that I pray every day. I know I'm supposed to. I know I'm a pastor and supposed to do that. But I tell you, life happens and I miss, I forget. But in my best moments, in the times I remember, in the times that I am able to pray and take the time to do so, I tell you, the Lord's prayer is taking on fresh, new meaning as I come to recognize a few things. One of them is this, that when we choose to pray that prayer, it moves from simply being a prayer that we go through to a call to participate in what God is doing as he's bringing redemption in this world. I also know this, that if I'm going to pray that prayer, that means that I have to be in a spot in which I'm willing to surrender the things that matter to me most. Because it's not about my kingdom. It's about his kingdom and his will being done. And so what that's looked like for me in this past year, maybe this might help some of us. Maybe some of you have different ways of praying. But I know for me, this is what this has taken a form for, taken a look like for me. Is to say, Lord, I come before you. You are in heaven. May your kingdom come and may your will be done in my heart. Start with me. May the kingdom life be seen through me, God. May your kingdom come and your will be done in my heart first. And whatever you want to do out of that, so be it. I surrender to you. May your kingdom come and your will be done in my marriage. If there would be something about the way that Michelle and I relate that people will be able to see the kingdom of God within us. If there would be something that says, God, may your kingdom come and your will be done in my kids' life. That as we live, that as Michelle and I live out this life, they would be able to catch a glimpse of what the kingdom looks like because of the way that we live our lives, so much so that they would want to participate in that kingdom as well. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done in my household. All the things I own, the things I possess, the things that I have the opportunity to take care of, God, may they come under your will and your surrender. And that even means the people that might be living at my house at that time. They don't even know they're getting prayed for, but they're getting it. You come under my domain, you're coming under the Lord's domain. God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in my work. The privilege, the opportunity to be able to serve. God, in all the areas that I get to oversee, may your will be done in them. God, the people that I get to serve alongside, the groups that I get to be a part of, may your will be done in all those places. May your kingdom come, may your will be done in this city and the people that are in it. God, this city so needs you. Would you show up? Would you show up in Kitsap County and make a difference? May your will be done in this country. God, we need you to show up and make a difference. May your kingdom come and may your will be done, yes, on earth as it is in heaven. There is a need for God's kingdom to continue to expand. And I know that I have the opportunity to invest in some missionaries that are doing the work around the world. God, use them greatly, I pray, for your purposes. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And if I have the opportunity to participate in it, God, so be it. You see, that is the essence of what Jesus was getting into when he told us to pray. not to have this God that is distant, that is disconnected, that is uncaring, but for us to approach a God that draws close to us, that moves into the neighborhood, that comes to live within us and invites us to see the kingdom go wherever it is that we go. Why? Because Jesus lives within us. What if that were true? How would your life be lived differently if you walked with that awareness day in and day out? The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is wherever I have the opportunity to step, to place my feet. Not because of me, but because of Jesus in me. What would life be like if we chose to surrender every area of our life to Him? Moment by moment, thing by thing, as the Spirit reveals it to us, we say, yes, God, not my will, your will. May your will be done, not mine. What would it look like if we made the adjustment to say, God, I'm choosing to live this kingdom life? You see, my heart for us, and more than my heart, I believe is Jesus' heart for us, is that we would live to be a people who would choose not to just pray the prayer, that we would choose to be a people instead, that we would participate in seeing His kingdom come in and through us. What if we were that kind of people? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to prepare to close. You know, I wonder what adjustments need to be made in our life that we could live with the kingdom awareness. That wherever we go, this unseen realm, we're aware the kingdom of God is here. What if we live with that? What needs to be adjusted? What areas of our life need to be surrendered to God's will? Because for some of us, the Spirit of God is speaking to us about specific things. It's like, yeah, I know. I need to give this over. I need to trust Him with this. May your will be done, not mine. And for some of us, it's a specific area. For some of us, it's our whole life. You have never asked God to be your Lord and Savior. And so there's never been a spot in which you said, God, I surrender to you. I surrender all to you. Because the way, I mean, come on, the way that you've understood God is He's out there, right? And the way you understood Him is He's like that genie. He's that God who just shows up sometimes, maybe when you need Him. But you're hearing today about a God who draws close. You're hearing about a God who moved into the neighborhood, who wants to be intimately connected with you. And this morning, you're saying, I want that relationship. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. So across this room, for those of you that are online, wherever you might find yourself, would you bow your heads and would we take an opportunity to come before the Lord? Let's pray together. Lord, we do come before you this morning. And we offer ourselves to you. We're in this moment offering a heart and saying, oh God, would you survey? Would you take a look over the landscape of our life? And as you're revealing the places in our heart and our life that are not surrendered to you, God, we're praying that bold prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done in that area of my life as it is in heaven. Free and total reign to do what it is you want to do. To have your way. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. Some of us need to pray forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. I know I do. Because we get caught up in the routine, the mundane parts of life, just the machine that goes on and on and on, and we lose the sense that your kingdom is right here among us. Forgive us for that. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, would you enliven with us again a spiritual sense to have eyes to see what you're doing in your kingdom, ears to hear how your kingdom is reverberating all around us, and give us the courage, Lord, to participate in your kingdom work that you want to do in and through us. Lord, some of us come into a place of surrender in our hearts and lives, saying, Lord, I'm asking for you to be God in my life. I'm hearing today that you do draw close. I'm hearing today that you want to come and cleanse me from the inside out. And so I'm asking for you to do that right now. Be my Lord and be my Savior, be my God. I give you my sins. I give you this life that I've had, and I choose to receive the life that you give right here in this moment. fresh, brand new life is taking place here right now. And I give you thanks for it. Father, I pray that as a faith community, that we would all be found living in such a way that your kingdom continues to expand in and through us, that as we find ourselves in different relationships, that the kingdom would continue to come as we await for that day in which you return in all your glory. May it be so, Jesus. We ask in your name, amen. Amen. Well, may it be so in our hearts and lives, folks. You know, my prayer for you is that if you've taken that step to say, I choose to follow Jesus, or if you're just in that spot where you're saying, you know, I know that God's speaking to me and I want to take this step, but I just know it can be so hard sometimes to continue the journey. I want to let you know that one of the best ways to continue the journey is by joining one of our discipleship groups. They're happening throughout the summer. They'll be happening throughout the fall, and you can find one of them online and sign up. You can go in the lobby and let our team know, hey, I want to join a group. We're going through the stories of Jesus together to come to learn who he is so that we can be more like him as we live it out. And I just want to invite you into that journey. It's so much fun. And so as we prepare to close this morning, I want to close with just that first part of the Lord's Prayer. And for me, my prayer is that it would take on fresh new meaning. So can we say this together? Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May it be so. Blessings on you. See you next week as we continue.